Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 12, text 16. Can you repeat?
Evam vido brahmachari, evam vido vanaprastha yatir grihi, charan viritta vijnana, param brahmadigacchati.
Translation. By practicing in this way, whether one be in the brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, or sannyas ashram, one must always realize the all-pervading presence of the Supreme Lord. For in this way, it is possible to understand the absolute truth. Purport. This is the beginning of self-realization. One must first understand how Brahman is present everywhere and how he is acting. This education is called Brahma Jigyasa and is a real concern of human life. Without such knowledge, one cannot claim to be a human being. Rather, he remains in the animal kingdom. As it is said, sa eva gokaraha, without such knowledge, one is no better than a cow or an ass. Om agyanati brahmachari vanaprastha yati grihi charan viritta vijnana param brahmadigacchati. By practicing in this way, whether one be in the brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, or sannyas ashram, one must always realize the all-pervading presence of the Supreme Lord. For in this way, it is possible to understand the absolute truth. Atata Brahma Yajasa. So now, in this moment, it's time to inquire about Brahman, about the truth. So that's the beginning of the Vedanta Sutra, and that's the beginning of human life. And without such knowledge, one is no better than a cow and ass. Now, maybe even the cow and ass is better than the modern human being who does not understand this and create a havoc on this planet Earth. Because the cow and ass, at least, does not create a disaster on the planet. But when the human being understands something from spiritual life, he has a more advantageous position. Okay, next. So, Atata Brahma Yajasa. Now, Janmadya Syayataha. So the Brahman, or the truth, is that from which everything comes, or everything is taking its birth. So we all part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. We all part and parcel of Krishna. And thus, we share in His qualities. Of course, now Prabhupada at one point said, to understand the Supreme Lord, you need to understand yourself. Because we are sample gods, Prabhupada said in one morning conversation. We are sample gods. We're coming from the Lord, and thus we share in His qualities. The example is given in the sun and its sun rays. The sun rays share the qualities of the sun, but in minute quantities. So there is light and there's heat in the sun and in the sun ray, but in completely different capacity. So in the same way, we as living entities, we share in the qualities of the Lord, Satchit Ananda, this eternality, knowledge and bliss. So, it's for us to begin our spiritual life, the beginning or the foundation for the spiritual life, our spiritual life and our devotional life, is to understand that we are not this body. But that is not enough. We have to understand what we actually are. And that's spirit soul. Okay, we're not the body. Okay, that's a negative. So what are we? We're spirit soul. And as such, we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And we are having desires. We are active. We are doing something. We are meant to serve, so to say. We are servants. Okay. So the Supreme Lord is eternal and we are eternal. The body is not eternal. The elements may be eternally there in the creation and in the whatever, in one way, in a manifest or a non-manifest way, but our specific manifestations of the body now has a beginning and an end. So that is not what we are. We are the soul within who is conscious and aware of this body and who uses the body. Okay, so we are eternal. Next, such knowledge or when I speak, what does that mean? The Lord's knowledge. Well, he knows everything and he's conscious of everything. In that way, to know means to be conscious. So Krishna, he's conscious of all of us. And that's quite amazing. Because just in this town, how many human beings walks around? I don't know. Is it 20 million or 15 or I don't know. Quite a few. And the Lord is in the heart of each and everyone and aware of each and every one of them. And then that's just the human beings. What about the insects and the spiders and I don't know what more? And that is just this one town on this planet Earth. And then you go out into the nature and there's so many grass, grass trees and whatever. It's inconceivable how the Lord is, as I say, present in and aware of each and every living entity. We are conscious, I hope we are, at the present, of our presence here. In this room, we are a certain amount of human beings sitting here, and one is trying to speak something, and the others are trying to not fall asleep. Trying to listen. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so we are sitting here, and then I'm vaguely aware of you all here sitting. My hairs are getting lit bad, so I don't see you in the far back there. Really good. So how many is sitting here? And I don't know who is maybe listening on the extension somewhere in other rooms. So what am I aware of? Okay, we are limited aware. But there's one, we have a connecting point, okay? And now, like nowadays, we like to be connected to the internet. And then we can know everything. You just type in your Google and you can get all kind of answers, good or bad. You can get good things and you can get really nasty things also on the internet. So, but you need like the connecting point, you know, a broadband or something, you know, you connect. And then you're in the illusion that you can know and get the information you need, or you get some kind of things. So, but the point is, we need to be connected spiritually with Krishna in our heart. And if you're connected with Krishna in our heart, then that is much better than the internet. Okay. That's a connection of a different quality. Krishna very kindly gives us the knowledge we need according to time, place and circumstance. And he doesn't give us more. And that is a challenge for us, is maybe to just simply depend on the Lord who is in our heart, that he gives us intelligence that we require in order to whatever speak what we're meant to say, to speak or manage or whatever. At the same time, Krishna is giving intelligence, at the same time we feel as if it depends on us. And that is quite a scary thing. Okay, am I going to manage this? But actually, the Lord is there and guiding each and every living entity. How is it that? Yantra rurani mayaya. What is the beginning there? Ishvara sarvabhutanam ride sadhyatnatistati brahmayam sarvabhutani yantra rudani maya. The Supreme Lord is in the heart of all living entities, and in guiding the living entities through the wanderings of life, as they are sitting in the body on their machine, so to say. So the Lord is there and is guiding us, whether we agree to it or not, whether we are aware of it or not. At the same time, we have a free will to use or misuse. And Krishna is so kind that he is totally detached. Yes, you want to go to hell? No problem. This is the way. Here we have, I don't know what, just go out through the gate here and turn right, and then, you know, a few blocks down, you know, I don't know what, or maybe not even a few blocks down, you can enter hell. To say, no problem. You know, if you want, or you want to enter the spiritual world, okay, then go in through this gate here, you know. Any case, Krishna is there. Okay, so knowledge. Being conscious. And, okay, we have Gyan and then we have Vigyan. So yes, we know the scriptures, and you maybe know them better than me. I blame my age for not remembering everything so good. But we read the scripture, and we may be able to memorize. But the memorization or theoretical knowledge or intellectual knowledge in one level, but then it requires to become realized knowledge. So then, the Lord is in the heart of all living entities, including our own, including ourselves. So, to be in knowledge, to be conscious of the fact that Krishna is in the heart. And now, if we have some realization of Krishna's presence in our heart, we may also suspect that he's present in another's heart. Suspect. I mean, in terms of, if you have no experience of that, it's a nice theoretical concept, but how are we going to trust that is in someone else's heart when we, if you haven't any realization of his presence in our own heart? Yes? Yeah. So therefore, we could say the research starts on the home plane. Plan. What is home plane? Where is Krishna in my heart? Is he there? How is he? What is it in our heart that is Krishna? So to say, we could ask, because he's there. And so what? So we need to recognize that to some degree. And of course, then we can also understand our own nature in one way. Well, Prabhupada said that in order to understand Krishna, first of all, understand yourself. We are sample gods. Now, one thing, we are coming from the Supreme Lord, and a little bit like the father and son. Well, he says here, Aham Vidya Prada Pita, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So now, if you would see a photo of my father, you would see that he looks a little bit like me. But actually, that's not the fact. It's the other way around. I look a little bit like him, okay? So we inherit qualities from our parents. So Krishna is the ultimate father, so we inherit qualities from him. Now there is one thing we have, and we understand Krishna has also, and that we have personality. And we are conscious, and all this, it's there in Krishna, but in his perfection. He's a perfect person. Yeah. In our forgetfulness of our relationship to Krishna, we become imperfect beings. But when we reconnect to Krishna, then we become perfect in that way that we are properly situated in our relationship to our origin, to Krishna. Okay, so we are persons and Krishna is person. Now the one thing, what do we actually want? We could ask. What is all living entities want? So, well, they want happiness. Or we could say they want maybe love. Nowadays, love. Yes, love and lust. What is what? So we mistake lust for love and we go for that. But the basic thing is the living entity, at least the human beings and others also, the cows are quite affectionate beings. And other animals also, they can be very affectionate. And to the human beings also. So in one way, Krishna, he has everything, but he's looking for our love. Okay. Because that we're keeping back from Him. We are holding it for ourselves and trying to enjoy it for ourselves instead of giving it to Krishna. So Krishna, to be connected with Krishna, we can be very complicated. But then Krishna says, no, it's very not too complicated. Patram puspam palam tuyam yome bhakta prayasati taraham bhaktu paritam asnami prayatatmanaha. Offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, and I will accept it. Here, Krishna, take a flower, please. Here's an apple, or I don't know, mango, jackfruit. Well, we have to cook it first, maybe. In any case, all these things, that's what Krishna is looking for. He's looking for our love, and that is what we are looking for also, love. But the lust of the material world is a false reflection that tracks us in a different direction. We are conscious, we are eternal, we are conscious, and our nature is ananda. We want to be happy. Or the living entity's nature is blissful, and Krishna's nature is also blissful. And our blissfulness becomes manifested when we're properly situated in relationship to Krishna as His servants, as His loving servants. Now, Kamsa, he was very conscious of Krishna, but not as a loving servant. But the interesting was that even though he was in a mood of enmity of Krishna, he was benefited of that connection. So we may or may not be able to be the topmost loving devotees or whatever, but whatever way we relate to Krishna, it's good. So even there's a statement in the Bhagavatam, even if you're even an enemy of Krishna, it's some another. Think of Krishna, either as an enemy, as a friend, as a parent, as a lover, or whatever. Think of Krishna. Because one thing is to think of Krishna, then actually be in a relationship to Krishna. We think of Krishna, we may think that, oh, I'm in a relationship to Krishna. I'm a gopi. Or I'm this or that. Yes, we may think like that. But it may or may not be the fact. Okay, we may have some theoretical concept of what my relationship to Krishna is. But our relationship to Krishna is not theoretical, it's real. And it's a relationship of service. Another thing in this world is that if we want to develop a loving relationship to anyone, there need to be an exchange of take and give. Now your brahmachari is here and whatever others. But if in the West, I don't know what India is different, but in the West, girlfriend or whatever you want to approach says, yes, I love you very much. So she thinks, oh yes, very nice. Maybe we could go and look in a cinema together or something. No, we're not going to, but I love you very much. Now if you love, then you give something. Okay, mundane example. A reflection with the spiritual world. You give some flowers. You invite for a dinner. Give some jewelry. I don't know what. You give something. By the exchange of take and give, there is the love or the relationship develops. So in that way, our relationship with Krishna, it's there, it's dormant there, but it's developed and established, and we say, by the exchange of service, loving service. Service, and we can say that service with love in a positive way, that turns into love. Okay, so all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, and we also. And Krishna is in the heart of all living entities, in ours also. So by the devotional service and the chanting and hearing, we endeavor to re-establish and reawaken our lost relationship or forgotten relationship to Krishna. It's not lost, it's just forgotten. It's there not to be rediscovered. It's not to discover something new, but just to discover something that was already there. And in some way, happiness is to find something that was lost. Help, my watch, where did I put it? My mobile phone, I don't know what, bank card. Or and then you find it, okay. Then you feel happy. Okay, it was lost and is refound. Then you become happy. So in the same way, when upon our rediscovering our lost or forgotten relationship to Krishna, it's a cause of happiness for the living entity. So in that way, we should inquire about the Supreme, and one thing is inquiring, but also practical acting for the sake of, qualifying ourselves to understand our relationship to the Supreme. And it's also, we may want to charge in and say, hey Krishna, I am here. I'm a great devotee. Just see, I'm sitting here speaking. Okay. Okay, well, I'm sorry. But, you know, we may want to, but actually, the way Krishna, the point is, it's not that we shouldn't try to force ourselves on Krishna, but we should make ourselves prepared to be open for Krishna coming to us. And when Krishna comes, well, he may be heavy also. Yes, I want to be a friend of Krishna, you may say. Well, Arjuna was a friend of Krishna. But if you're a friend of Krishna, he may also ask something from you. So Arjuna, he asked, you fight. Even your own relatives. Of course, I don't say we shouldn't fight our relatives. We should make them friends and friendly to Krishna. That is the point. But it's a challenge. We approach Krishna, and then Krishna also, we want to be close to him, we also have to be prepared to share in the reciprocation. I was hearing something about Prabhupada. Where was that? Somewhere. Aravade. Okay, Aravade. Okay, Harisori Prabhu was there and told something. Yes, actually, to be close to Prabhupada, I wasn't so close physically. I couldn't take it, okay. But if it was close to, you had to be prepared. Someone said, you had to be prepared to do whatever was required. And if you wasn't prepared to do that, you couldn't be close by, because Prabhupada would ask you, hey, do this and do that. So in the same way, we could say, being close to Krishna, yeah, well, we can also expect that Krishna will ask us to do things. And that is a surrender. So ultimately we have to surrender to Krishna. The Krishna consciousness means a continuous process of surrendering to Krishna in various ways. And maybe the closer we come to him, maybe the more he will ask from us. And so our progress could be seen as, to that degree, we qualify ourselves more and more to answer the call of Krishna and to be there and be ready to serve him as he wants us to serve him. Okay. Maybe there is some question or comment to what I said, or the words. Yes, there is. Do you have a microphone? Or there's one lady back there who wants to put a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, when you're distributing books for Srila Prabhupada, you face a lot of difficulties. And, from the outside world, it's understood that it's Maya. But even from devotees, you face a lot of difficulties. Could you please speak on it?
Okay, let's get it. There's something with distributing books. There's a lot of difficulties.
Yes.
Okay.
From the outside world, but we have to face it and go out. All out and distributed,
yes.
Right? Because that's Maya. But even you face a lot of difficulties with, you know, few devotees in the temple, and they make it very, very difficult for you.
No, I didn't catch the last. Difficulty for whom? It's difficult to do.
For me.
For you to do. To distribute books.
No. There are a lot of obstacles that I'm facing with few devotees in the temple. I don't know whether they're envious or what it is, But I'm all here to serve Guru Maharaj. Could you please speak on it?
Okay, I just don't really hear so nicely. Okay. Yes. To serve Krishna, you know, okay, let's come together and Krishna, serve Krishna in love and devotion together. You know, how wonderful we are, one great family, okay? But you should know that in families, usually, there's so many times there's some quarrel, okay? So we're a spiritual family, and that sounds, oh, how nice, we're a spiritual family. Yes, we're a spiritual family. At the same time, there's different ways, and there is frictions. So that is a real challenge, is to serve Krishna together with the devotees. Because it's, you know, I heard at Shaupati's, here you're very nice, and your counseling system or whatever going on very nicely. So, but usually my experience of serving Krishna in the Sankirtan van, distributing books, is that you do it together with the devotees. And many times the devotees are not exactly as you thought they should be, okay? They are as they are, and they have their weaknesses or personalities. And that is a challenge, to keep serving Krishna together with these devotees who are not exactly as I think they should be. That is a challenge. So we have to see that. And that is Krishna's mercy. That's Krishna's mercy. These obstacles is Krishna's mercy. Because that's a real... when we mature, with the obstacles, facing obstacles, we have a possibility to mature. Without the obstacles, what's the problem? And what's the gain? So you experience something, okay, whatever, yes. Krishna's blessing. That's Krishna's kindness, in a way. Take it that way. It's a challenge to understand what's going on. Where is my problem? Where is their problem? Because we can't really change others, but maybe we can do something to change ourselves, to improve ourselves. And that is what we can do. And then, one thing, if I try to change someone, usually they resist. I'm not going to change. I'm okay. What do you say? So one thing is to respect the persons. Don't try to change them. And when you do that, they may change. Okay? When you respect them and give them their space, now in a double sense maybe, they may actually, you give place for change. And they may feel, then my false ego don't get in the way. And then maybe I can do things better. Okay. So that is our challenge, is to serve Krishna together. And the challenge is that we are not all perfect, pure devotees, and we're not all as we should be. We are as we are, and that's great. And that may be just as it should be. And that is a challenge for us in our Krishna consciousness to progress. And it's a challenge that makes an opportunity for us to mature in our Krishna consciousness and in our being a human being, all as serving Krishna. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. There is some more question. In the far back there is a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is, whenever you want to be near the God, if you want to understand the Lord, is it necessary that we should not apply the logic and rationality? Because that very often boosts your ego. So if you really want to melt your ego and if you want to be near the Lord, you should keep aside logic and rationality. Please enlighten me.
Okay, if I got it right, you said love. We want love. But then we put aside logic and reason. And then logic and reason as a problem of inflating our ego. So how to combine the two things? Well, without without philosophy, and that is the strength of our movement. We are philosophically based movement of loving Krishna. So there's a philosophy, there's that points us to the direction of loving Krishna. Now, logic and reason, I mean, just logic, mundane logic and reason may not be helpful so much. But still, there is logic and reason, but at one point, there's points that is might be beyond logic and reason. So logic and reason is there, philosophy is there. Bhagavad Gita starts with Sankhya, analyzing what you are and what you're not, how we're changing bodies and you're not this and not that, and how the soul. So then we say it's Sankhya, it's a logic and reason. And then it goes on. A little later on, it comes in bhakti, putting it more firmly, so to say. So the bhakti or devotion to Krishna, love and devotion for Krishna, without love and reason, without logic and reason, or without philosophy, Prabhupada said, may become sentimentalism or sahajayism. It's something cheap. And this Krishna consciousness is not cheap. you have to pay the price. And it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of surrendering your ego and whatever pride and prestige and, you know, be a humble servant in one way or another. Of course, you can give a big donation to the temple and then they will say, very good, you know, thank you very much. But it may not give us love of Krishna exactly. I mean, if you still have a pride and prestige there. So we are philosophically based movement or say path. I say organization. I don't even say organization because the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is huge, and we are one part and we have an organization, but it's based on philosophy and we're part of a tradition with a very deep philosophy. So that philosophy should also be understood, and then with that philosophical foundation, we can enter into trying to develop a love of Krishna. Without the philosophical foundation, it will become cheap, so to say, and it will not really carry us to our destination. Even though, if somehow or another we love Krishna and appreciate him, maybe even without understanding who is Krishna or the full input, but if just like Kamsa, he hated Krishna. Okay, but so maybe someone loved Krishna just sentimentally. That is good, but it's better even if you have a philosophical foundation. So the two should go together. And the philosophy, call it logic and reason, as a foundation on which we build a loving relationship with Krishna and with all living entities. Now, there is one point, and one point is a matter of, it should not just be theory, okay? It's a reality. Krishna is in our heart. It's not a theory. It is a reality. We are eternal part and parcel of Krishna. That is a reality. It's not a theory. And that has to be realized by practically applying us to the basic process of Krishna consciousness. And part of it is to serve Krishna together. And maybe it's just to sit together, wonderful, you're sitting together and someone is trying to speak Bhagavatam and you others are trying to hear. In that interaction, Krishna may enter and expand, so to say, the knowledge. And then, well, that's nice. But then there's practical things also, let me do this, let me do that, and support, so that the chanting and hearing can go on and expand unlimitedly. Okay, thank you for your question, and thank you for your question, Mataji, and thank you for listening, and for whoever invited me to speak today, squeeze in, of course, and taking advantage, okay, I'm saying, taking advantage, or your hospitality here is being taken advantage of by me and those who sent me, orange, and I'm very happy that I can speak something here, at least give something back. as a thanks for your whatever hospitality and generosity here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.